for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Patrick Stump, Pete Wentz here tonight from Fall Out Boy. We got the new CD here. We will hear something off it. Well, I shouldn't say new, but newish CD. We'll hear a couple of songs off it. Bands from Chicago. No one has a bad thing to say about Chicago.
Windy City Heat, man.
My dad does.
We know.
Windy City Heat. Oh, your dad grew up in Chicago.
Yeah, during the Depression. Heard nothing but horror stories about it.
You'll get bad stories.
We live over like John Hughes. All those movies are set, so we don't know any bad stories at all.
I'll tell you, growing...
Except nerds winning.
Yeah.
Growing up in the Valley... When I would see those John Hughes movies where the leaves were changing and Steve Martin was out on the lawn and had the beautiful picket fence and all the houses were the same. It was clear you had to have money to live here, but it wasn't ostentatious. It wasn't, it wasn't Graceland or anything like that, but it was so, everything was so nice.
Pleasant.
Mm. Without being ostentatious.
And then we love Chicago.
Everyone loves Chicago. Oh, everybody. And it's weird because it's got to be strange. Anytime you talk to anyone from Chicago who's out here, and they're all, oh, my God, yeah, great town. Now, L.A., you'd never hear that. You might hear it about their native Mexico or Thailand or wherever they were from. I just think, psychologically, what do you think it does to a town when you have no pride, no one cares, no one will even admit to it? It's like... You're not even cool if you say you like L.A. You know, you have to like some other town. You know what I mean?
I just remember you and I walking around going, oh, God, L.A. sucks.
Yeah,
around the State Theater.
We're beating L.A. up in Chicago.
Yeah, but, I don't know. That's kind of one of those things. I think it's kind of people, I don't know. In Chicago, you have, like, whatever. My family's been there for, like, six generations or something
really?
Insane. So... I don't know. I can't really.
What are they? Are they? Is there a business that you didn't get into?
Are they all done? Sears
furniture.
No, I was supposed to get into cars.
Railroad.
Nothing. So I'm kind of a disappointment.
Is everybody? Did your dad own a shop or
no,
sell
actually,
cars or
my,
something like
my
that?
My grandpa, my uncle, like yeah.
Dealerships. So,
well, no, body shop and my grandpa was the car guy at Allstate. I don't know.
To me, I'm trying to think. I was putting a pox and a curse on my family and my wife's family earlier today because now everyone is 70 years old and no one knows anything. Mm. And I get these phone calls every week. Do you think you could send some of your guys over to look at the roof? Do you know some guys? Could one of your guys, could Ozzy, could Ray? And I thought to myself, how come I know everybody and you pukes don't know anybody? And then I realized... You cannot go through your life without making connections, but the number one connection, body shop.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the political stuff,
chief
of police.
Have,
body shop is always a dicey kind of a...
Doesn't matter. He don't ask questions.
Yeah.
He found a little brain matter on the bumper and some blonde hair. That's all right. We'll buff that right out. No questions asked. All under the table.
These
little
guys
cash.
Sealed Capone into the fender of a car.
No, I'm just saying, as far as like, hey, I know a guy or my uncle, fill in the blank... owning a liquor store, a nice Italian restaurant's good.
Ooh, that's
you
good.
Know, your uncle.
That's good.
If you could have family members that had an Italian restaurant that had a body shop, and I'm trying to think a car wash wouldn't be bad either. I could get those free air fresheners, you know.
Which one, attorney?
Attorney would be. Yeah, round it up. We'll go white collar. That's right. Attorney, Italian restaurant, body shop. Those are your three uncles. Awesome, right?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. I don't have any of those. We will hear something from Fall Out Boy. Also, the guys are going to be playing on... Carson. It's going to be on Carson Daly Show on... what am I looking for here? What's the date?
November 4th.
Here it is. November 4th. Saw Carson Daly today.
Huh?
Yeah. Over at Jimmy Kimmel's. You know where the boys go.
Yeah.
Drew, you never go by... Hey, what is that? One Sunday. Go buy Jimmy's. Have a beer.
Like
watch.
I'd be delighted to. I feel like you've sort of discouraged me from it.
Don't go.
I'll be happy to come.
Drew, you will never go.
If I'm invited, I will come. I swear to God, I will be there next week.
You don't have to get invited. Just show up. That's the whole thing.
All right,
go on. Well, he's got like 28 TV sets. Jimmy has.
Now we're not going to be sick of each other anymore. We're going to want to see each other.
Jimmy got a pizza oven. Jimmy made a pizza oven that is three stories. It is. If there's an earthquake, it will crush a neighbor's house.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that big. Like a smokestack from the 70s coming down.
Jimmy gets all food stuff, extraordinary food making and food rendering stuff.
Jimmy made 27 pizzas the other day. Fresh pizzas.
It's like New York
all
style,
day.
Right?
All, yeah. All day. Pizzas going all day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I bring sons?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Kids left? No. Kevin goes.
There's a lot of blue language.
Okay, got it.
And alcohol.
No, don't worry.
Just like that. So anyway, the guys are going to be with on Last Call November 4th. What the hell's the date today? Oh,
that's Friday.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Lori.
Friday
17. Lori.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, it'll be Thursday night show.
Right.
Right.
Friday morning.
Right. What's happening, Lori?
What's happening with you?
All right, let's go. What's going on?
Enough.
Okay, I kind of dozed off. Adam, I love your show on TLC, by the way.
Thank you. Hold on a second. Dozed off.
I know.
Maybe I'm just sensitive because, ironically, my grandmother told me she dozed off watching my TLC show last week, and that was on VHS cassette. But I really feel like I have to give America a quick lesson in curriculum, or not curriculum, just, but in general decency.
Yes,
radio
etiquette.
Etiquette. Yeah. Don't say you've dozed off when people have been talking for a few minutes.
Try not to follow a compliment with but.
All those compliments kind of go. We get them in the band all the time. It's just like, a lot of people said you guys suck live, but I didn't think it was that bad. Well, thanks. You know what I'm saying?
It was kind of okay.
Or there's nothing worse than the frantic fan than the who's like, I need the autograph. Then the person next to him who's faking like they don't want it, they're like, no, I don't care that much. You know they go around the corner and they freak out.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that? I cannot. I'm supposed to understand these things. I do not understand that particular impulse.
Well, there's this one, too. We've gotten it all the time. The person that has to come up to you and let you know they don't know who you are.
Yeah. My friends get that say.
Everyone here seems to know you. I don't know what you do.
Are you some guy?
Out of here
are you some guy? I think you're that guy. They say you're some guy. I don't know. You know, I wasn't paying attention.
Why are you talking?
I'll tell you what happened. I think the 50s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, it was cool to be a fan. Then at a certain point, you became a kiss ass and you're
sucking up to the man.
You're sucking up.
Yeah.
So you have to pretend like you're not a fan.
Yeah.
All right.
You have to cut and even if you really aren't a fan, you have to cut somebody down to size.
Right. Yeah. No worse time to be a celebrity. Lori?
Yeah, okay, sorry about that.
Oh, let me tell you something too. back in the day, if you were a celebrity and you wanted to bang another celebrity, that was your business. You know what I mean? You could be married with 30 kids, go out and just have a gay tryst with any leading man in Hollywood and nobody would know about it. You know what I mean?
Well, they would know about it, but they wouldn't talk about it.
They knew about it, they wouldn't talk about it.
There were those secrets, though, that people weren't supposed
secrets,
to talk about things.
Secrets, that's right.
You never saw Jack Kenny with a cigarette.
Secrets, that's right. That's right. They were just that. Lori?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, my vagina's always wet.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Cut to the chase.
Here we go. Yeah. Clearly there's a weight now.
Yeah. Yeah.
This radio show's awesome.
You're always aroused, or they're just always
it's always lubricated, no matter what.
Do you have a discharge all the time?
Yes.
How long has this been going on for?
For as long as I can remember.
And do you have normal pap smears, or have you ever had a pap smear?
No, I've had two, because I've been put on birth control just this past
year. And what pill are you on?
I am actually on the patch.
Has that made this worse or better?
Oh, kind of worse.
Yeah. Usually that's an estrogen effect, and being on more estrogen with the patch will make it worse. You might want to talk to your doctor about going on a progesterone-predominant pill or a shot, and that kind of dries things up a bit.
Getting on birth control, good thing. Getting put on birth control, bad.
Why were you put on birth control?
My mom wanted me to go on it.
Because?
Just because when my sister was my age, she did too, just for like dermatologist stuff, and just that's
let me translate. Mom
pregnant at 13?
Mm-hmm. No, no.
Or nearly.
You're 17, your mom's 21.
Well, actually, at that age, I had a boyfriend, and I talked to her, and so I asked her if I could go on it.
So your mom's just enlightened then. Your mom's good.
Your dad around?
Yes.
He is?
Yep.
Biological?
No, I don't get any problems here.
Just checking.
Yeah.
Just checking.
This all sounds good to me.
All right. Everything's good.
All right. But the reason
I'm not going to put my kid on birth control. I'm just going to start working the estrogen or whatever.
Into Cheerios?
Yeah, Sunny D, whatever she's calling at the time. You know what I mean?
Why not?
All of a sudden, I see my boy walking by with man boobs. Like, what the?
The sun is alive!
The sun is dead! It's like, what's the big deal? Don't worry about it! Drew, what could I do? Could you do that?
No.
You could do something. You could do something pretty close. So
just give
you?
Her the shot. Give her the depot shot.
But how do I do that without her knowing?
It's okay. Just tell it's a vitamin shot.
Okay.
There you go.
Honey, you're so short.
Just
I'm 5'11". I know you're not even 6 foot. You're 14. Now come on, roll that sleeve up.
You've been growing so much. You need an extra.
Giving you a vitamin shot. Yeah.
All right, Lori. What was your question?
My question about that was if that's a problem or if that's something I should really be worrying about because
No. If they would have told you that at your exams if there was a problem.
Oh, furry.
It's a furry. See what that is.
You know what a furry is?
Yeah. It's a giant stuffed animal person.
Yeah. What's your real name?
My name's Nick.
Nick, all right.
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
You're a furry?
Yes.
Those are stuffed animals. People dress like stuffed animals, right? Or
predominantly, yes. There's a certain section of people that do that, but not all of us do.
What do you do? How do you get to be a furry otherwise?
To be a furry, in my opinion, you just have to have a liking for cartoon characters and, a little bit more than a liking, a sexualization of cartoon characters, mainly animals.
My first crush ever was Chitara from the Thundercats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like
she was really fast.
Sheer Lord of the Jungle myself. I may be dating myself, but the way they drew that loincloth on her was hot.
Teela from He-Man, she was hot, too.
Yeah, she was He-Man. By the way, He-Man, a gayer name for a hero? That must have been from overseas or something.
Yeah. Yo, do you see what he wears when he's not He-Man, where he wears the all-purple, suit?
Prince Adam. I really do think a lot of that stuff's just from overseas, and that's their version of what we would.
Yeah. Or it's their version, and we translate it poorly.
I was at a miniature golf place once that saw a video game called Violence Fight.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized no round I came up with this title. Why don't they ever just check off on that stuff? You know what I mean? If it's coming from overseas, find one guy who speaks English and can tell you that Violence Fight's a little redundant. He-Man, kind of not really working and not a great name. You know what I'm saying? Just you don't know one white guy?
Lived here in the 50s, been in Japan ever since.
You got to wonder what names were rejected if He-Man's the one they took.
Violence Fight. Swift?
Yes.
All right, or Jack or whatever your name. Nick. That's
question.
Right. That's right.
Question.
Go ahead. Question.
I was wondering if you can have fetishes from birth, because the more that I talk to people online that have the same fetish that I do, the more I hear that they've enjoyed animals more than humans previous to hitting puberty or knowing what sex is. They've always preferred to be animals during Halloween, and they've always enjoyed books where anthropomorphic characters are the main character.
Yeah, but that doesn't, don't confuse what happens in the first few years of life because of environmental influences with what you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're born basically with predispositions, and then the environment does its work.
Would you have a predisposition to this?
Yeah.
You think you'd be born that way?
Yeah.
One would hope not. One would own, God, a nice swift kick in the sack.
I mean, there must be some predisposition of some type, but undoubtedly this is predominantly something in the first 5 years
Well, it'd be one more thing to test for during the amnio. It really would. Yeah. So we could get rid of you. Nick?
Yes. Yeah,
you don't have lots of clear memories before age three, and that's really when this kind of thing gets set up.
What kind of environment did you grow up in?
Lower middle class environment.
Chaos.
My parents are still here. That's very nice. I've got a really weird family dynamic going. My dad's a substance abuser, and my mom is, I think she's just a little nuts.
Taxidermist.
Yeah. Yeah, well, all right. You know, I was looking at some data the other day that's showing how when a mom's stress hormones go up, even, and this happens to other primates, so you can measure in saliva what's happening to the stress hormones. And mom freaks out, even if the child is not in direct contact, the child will go up with the mothers. That's how attuned children are to the mom.
Even if they're not in the room the mom is having the tantrum?
No. But even if they're not like directly involved with it, if they're just nearby.
Right.
Just, nearby mom.
An infant child, young children,
they have an exact replication of the mom's stress levels. And unfortunately, an infant's brain is forming.
Yeah.
And when those stress influences come in, it changes the way the brain forms.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be in a transitional period where you've got attachments to transitional objects like animals or blankets or something, and things are sort of extremely chaotic, you might see retreat into that. Yeah, it could be an interesting kind of wiring that was set up. Just theoretical.
I did transition from the Huggy Bookie to the Jack Rag. I wonder if that means... It was not a smooth one, I must say.
Many a hurdle. I don't think the furries are as brutal to their furry exteriors as you are to the Jack Rag.
All right, I hear it.
The Jack Rag, you'd take a hammer to it regularly.
I don't get it. Do you wear the suit? Do you wear the suit when you do it?
Well, he doesn't.
I think there's all kinds of versions of it, really.
Here's the deal. The boring version of everything calls this show, like the person, I'm a Wiccan. Oh, yeah, what do you do? Do you do the potions? And no, I'm not that kind of Wiccan. Will you have an outfit or pointy hat? No. Do you believe in? No, I'm a Christian. Okay. I have three kids. I work at the post office.
Just call myself Wiccan.
Okay, give us the good one. I want the good one. We never get the good one.
I kill people and drink their blood.
That's what I want. Let's talk about Nick.
See what Nick's is, though. So, Nick, how does this whole thing work, this fetish?
Well, for me, I often, I have a girlfriend, and she wears a dog collar and leash. Well, I have these fake fur paws that I wear that go up to my shoulders.
Ooh.
And I also have two tails. One of them is a real fox tail, and the other one is a prosthetic lion tail that kind of hangs on my belt.
And you have sex with this stuff on?
Oh, yeah, quite regularly.
And what does it do for you?
I just think it's freaking hot.
Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
Nick, you sound gayish.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bisexual.
No,
we're going gay. We're going gay.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, you can lose the beard and just move on.
Well, the paws.
Lose the paws, lose the tail, and lose the beard, whatever her name is, and let's move forward in life. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the kind of beard he straps on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
All right. Here's what I'm saying. I want to give all gay men the green light to move on to homosexuality.
Right, I know.
I feel like a lot of them are just sort of clinging to it as this sort of way. It's that sort of, you know what it is? It's equivalent to junior college for the guy who's a horrible student. They like to hang in. So, you know, it's like when the folks are you know what it is? Here's what it is. When your folks' friends ask you what's going on, you can still say, I'm going to college, I'm taking some class, I'm looking at transferring.
And here's my girlfriend.
Cling on to that for 10 years. And here's my girlfriend. I'm bi.
Yeah.
I'm going to junior college, I'm bi. No, you're gay and you're a horrible student. Yeah. You should not go to either one of those things.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. But, you know, you do it because it's like, it's nice. And then at a certain point, you get comfortable enough to realize, I'm going to just work at a tattoo parlor, and I'm going to blow a guy.
Two things. I've found that most of the furry types that I have spoken to, the men, seem to me to be gay. And secondly, I forgot my second point.
All right. Well, your first was so powerful.
It overwhelmed everything.
Like, I'm just saying, go ahead and be bi. I mean, go ahead and be gay if you're bi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Threw me off, too. Yeah, guys can do that. Women, I think, can hang on to it.
Oh, they go. Yeah, they're much more flexible.
They'll go back.
Much more flexible.
Much more.
But yeah. I know what it was. I don't understand. Knowing how we all know how guys' sex drive is, once they declare their preference, How do you get them to sort of shroud that in anything else? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Because men are so driven.
Right.
How do you get them to don the paws and the tails and stuff, and that makes...
Right.
That diverts them from the peni.
I get in trouble for keeping my shirt on, so...
Imagine. You know what I'm saying?
Dressing up like a fox, yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. I quite understand that. Is it that powerful?
As we've established a long time ago, if it doesn't make sense to us, it's wrong. Flat wrong. it needs to be stopped.
So go ahead and declare again. Yeah. Give everyone the green light.
I had an interesting thought. I was watching Oprah this morning.
Whoa.
I know. It's a little bit of
drinking
a...
drinking that Sunny D?
A little bit of a ritual.
Yeah.
That's kind of a chalky flavor to it. The weird substance at the bottom. I got to shake that before I use it. I was watching some. My wife likes Oprah. She makes me watch it with her Sunday morning. But I just dissect it like game film, explaining what's wrong and why Oprah's this and that. But
I hope you educate your wife... accordingly.
Yes, I do, but she doesn't listen anymore. No. The model I'm on came on, David Bowie's wife, you know, and it's always, shockingly, she wrote a beauty book for women of color, because women of color, somehow, someone makes this proclamation every 10 minutes that women of color haven't figured out how to put on eyeliner yet. you know what I mean? It's important that and everyone just does a lot of head nodding. If you look around at the ladies of color, seems to be plenty going on. Plenty going on in the makeup department. It's not like... Not like they've never seen a kissing potion before. They should give Whitey a couple of tips on that. But she writes the book for the women of color.
Okay.
And Oprah's up there, and everyone's you know, because when you're a hot chick, you need to write a book on what it's like to be hot.
Right, because everyone needs to transform into you.
It's hard.
Sure.
It's easy. You need to know.
If you just knew, if she could transfer that information to other women, they'd all look like her.
Iman, you know, does the standard hot chick thing when Oprah
Tomboy,
starts off with
what
makes a woman beautiful, and it comes from within. It's the way you feel. You can't be beautiful if you don't feel beautiful. Which I would argue, you can be dead and be hot if you're hot. You don't feel like anything. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Any smoking hot chick who dies is still hot for a good 3 or 4 days.
For men.
She feels nothing.
Yeah.
She feels a rat crawling around and doesn't move.
Yeah.
And still hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking, so she does that thing that all hot chicks do about ugly chicks. They're like, hey, man, if you feel beautiful, you're beautiful, which makes zero sense because if you got a fat ass, it doesn't matter what you're just delusional if you feel hot. But that's what we say, right?
Yeah.
Once in a while, there is a chick with a fat ass and a bent nose, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm hot, I'm beautiful. And everyone's like, honey, please, you are butt ugly. So we won't even accept it as society. Imagine if all the ugly chicks just started going, oh no, I'm beautiful because I feel beautiful. Everyone would just smack them down. So, but here's what I realized. They always do that with chicks. They always do it with chicks. They never say it about a dude. When a man feels beautiful, because obviously if a guy's balding and has, you know, 10 feet of crack hanging out his ass, they're not like, oh, he's beautiful because he feels beautiful.
They're talking about work.
Lovely.
Yeah, you feel. Right. So I thought about it, though, and I thought it is more true for a guy, because here's the deal with a guy. A guy can be unattractive,
have a ton
of confidence, feel hot, and still nail hot chicks.
Yeah.
Because he carries himself
maybe
a certain
way. Maybe that's
where
they get that idea. Because they're reacting to...
Cool.
Yes, that's
true. Huzzah, I say. No, it's a good point.
Because they always project onto men what they feel about themselves. Therefore, the men would react to you the way they react to men, which is not the case.
I got some ugly friends that do all right.
That's what it is. We all know the guy who is nothing in the looks department but has tons of confidence, tons of style, tons of attitude, and nails hot chicks left and right. There's no version of that. It's like, oh, that super dumpy chick over there with the cellulite all over her ass, she feels great about herself. I'm going to go down on her. No. doesn't exist. It's the opposite. Doesn't exist with women. Does exist with men.
So therefore, women assume it should exist for men on behalf of women.
It's a good point because they buy into the crap on behalf of guys.
No, they respond to different
things.
Right,
and they buy into it. I mean, that's what draws them in.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But why does every single hot chick have to start with, it's how you feel?
What you feel?
Well, then they always say, like, oh, yeah, you know, I can totally relate to being overweight. You know, once in my modeling career, this one photographer told me that I need to, like, drop, like,
3 ounces.
Why do hot chicks feel the need to write books in general? Like, oh, you're hot, but I want to read your book. I need to know what you think about stuff.
Thank you.
The one we love, we're laughing at, it was at an airport in, like, Cincinnati. It was, like, Claudia Schiffer. Somebody wrote a book, and it was like, here's what I used to eat. I used to eat nothing but junk food. Right. And now here's what I eat, and here's what you should eat.
And like, here's what I look like.
You were a little hotter when you just were eating the Mickey D's. So what's your message? When you were doing the blow?
You were 3 years younger.
And eating the Famous Stars? You were hotter. So what are you talking about? All right. It's just models. Quit writing books, would you? Or actually, it's asking models to stop writing books is like asking attorneys to stop suing. Stop going to people and trying to get legal counsel for BS. And yes, here's what I'm saying.
Stop reading.
Stop picking up model books.
Stop watching talk shows that have those
Stop
people.
It, everybody. Yes. There's nothing in that. You're just going to feel worse. Leave it alone.
Here's what I say to all the supermodels. Shut up and take your pants off, bitch. Get down in your underpants and shut up.
Wow.
Please shut your pie hole. Take your heroin. Get in your underpants and start making and being. Shake that ass. Let me take a picture of you and beat off. Now shut up.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just tired of them writing books.
Whoa.
I'm tired of them.
When was that? I don't remember that rant.
That was off the air.
Oh, yeah. I guess. It was the bathroom, I guess. It was John.
No, it was when Claudia Schiffer was
there. Oh, that's right.
Anderson just let the mics roll during the break. All right. We'll Fall Out Boy in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
You have 5 seconds.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
3, 2.
Back in a minute.
1.
Here's what I say to all the supermodels. Shut up! Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Patrick and Pete here tonight from Fall Out Boy. They're going to be Friday night or late Thursday night, going to be on that Last Call with Carson Daly. Also, Certified Platinum, by the way, from Under the Cork Tree, name of the CD. We're going to hear something off that. I think what we'll do is we'll take a call and then hear a song.
Sure.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right. Nancy?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been married for almost 2 years, and lately my husband, he just left. He up and left, and I hadn't seen him for about a month. And he showed up in my life again, like after a month, called because we have a child together.
Yeah, hold on. Nobody under 50 should say up and left or done left.
No.
You know what I mean?
He did, though. I mean, like, he didn't.
Yeah, he left.
Yeah, he didn't leave me an address, nothing. I mean, for all I knew, he was dead. He went to work. He never came home.
Is he doing drugs?
No, he works in the oil fields, and they do follicle hair tests on him, and his job is his life. That's what
works, works in the oil fields, and they do drug testing.
Yeah, so it's not drugs.
Well, now, wait a minute. Was he working during that month?
Oh, he's been working for about 6 months now.
But during the time that he had up and left, he was still working?
Yes.
Yeah, because they had him up and pee in a cup.
Yeah. Well, they took his hair.
No, they take his hair.
Take his hair. All right. Yeah. So they up and took his hair. All right.
Yeah. So he left, and then he came back. He called. He said he wanted to see the kids. Well, he came by, and I let him see the kids, and he stole from me.
Hold on a second. I'm going to try this one more time, Drew. Because
I think this is true.
I know. I have pretty good instincts. Yeah. I've been 0 for 55 in this department, but oil fields, Bakersfield. The guy up and left, drug testing. He wanted to see the kid. Nancy, you're Jewish, yes?
No.
Jew? No.
No.
I can't believe it.
How could that be?
I can't believe it.
No way.
The guy works in the oil fields. You're married. You have a kid. He calls the kid, and he takes off and left, and you're not Jews.
No. No. Wow.
You know, just when you think you know everything, Drew. That's why.
Are you a Mormon?
Am I what?
Listen, hold on. This is why you can never assume you just, and you can't profile because you just don't know. Just when everything seems to fit together, just when everything seems to fit together, and the and Jew just comes screaming out at you, turns out not Jewish, even from Bakersfield.
How could that be?
That's why you cannot judge. That's the message. That's the message. That's the message I'm trying to send to people.
Perfect profile. What are you going to do?
You cannot profile. You can't. I don't care if you're a profiler with the FBI. You can't profile.
Well, of course.
You cannot.
Those are evil people.
You got to be evil. Yes, you can.
That's why it feels bad when someone gets you exact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me before on first meeting. Like, you dissect music in a mathematical way, don't you? Wow, I must be the most boring person you've ever met.
Well, it was on your hat or something. Hey, Nancy?
Yeah.
Not Jewish. Wow. And so now he up and came back?
Well, no, he came back out of nowhere.
And what was his explanation for his departure?
He wanted to see my son.
What was his explanation
for leaving?
The departure's where you leave.
He couldn't take our arguing.
Okay. How'd you like to go to the airport with Nancy? Above arrival. No, depart. You're going to the arrivals.
Let's go to the airplane station.
All right. So you guys were arguing a lot.
Well, we didn't argue a lot, but when we did argue, it was bad. I mean, like, before he left, earlier that month, he hurt my arm, and he went to jail. Mm-hmm. And I bailed him out, stupid as it sounds. Mm-hmm. And 2 days after I bailed him out, he just took off in the car and never came home. Well, a month later, he shows up.
By the way, Nancy.
That's why I split.
Nancy,
by
the way. There's a little...
The whole part where he got arrested when you called the cops?
Yeah, cause and effect. You can't see a relationship there between violence in the home,
him being
jailed.
After I got him arrested.
And then he takes off. Make sense. Or you go through life where things that happen in the moment have no relation to anything in the past.
Well,
things just happen spontaneously. There's no cause and effect.
Well... That's when you're stupid, by the way, you become like a superstitious native. And then when the volcano goes off, it's because God was angry and one of the guys farted the day before. Now you have to throw him into the volcano in order to appease the... You don't think so.
I don't even think she could even get that far into cause and effect.
But here's the thing. Nance, I think some of our callers don't want to tell us things that don't sound great on their resume.
Right.
So it gets confusing. You're like...
It's denial. It's kind of a denial.
Yeah, but they call and they're like, I have a herpetic lesion on my penis. And like, did you have unprotected sex? No, I didn't. And then 20 minutes later, you find out they weren't wearing a condom.
Absolutely not.
Well, because it's not great sounding. Well, meanwhile, we just get confused because we can't figure out why your husband up and left for no reason.
In my world, we call that obfuscation. And when there's obfuscation, there's drugs and alcohol.
Oh, really? All right. So they got into a blowout.
And somebody was drinking. I guarantee you.
And she called
drinking.
The cops, which is fine. And they arrested him because he'd battered her.
Yeah.
And that's why he got out and he left, right?
Who was drinking the night that he hurt your arm?
Nobody was drinking. Actually, nobody was drinking. He has some serious anger issues, like, really.
All right. Why'd you marry the guy?
Well, because he wouldn't like this, and they never are. He just started getting this way after I had my son. Like, angry all the time because he didn't want to take care of him. All he wanted to do when he got this job in the oil fields was work. I mean, he listened to the guys out there, and he was never home. And when he was home, all he did was sleep and do nothing.
All right. How about not crap out any more kids? Could you do that?
I have
suicide.
And it's
right on.
It's not my kids, believe me. I take good care of my kids.
Kids?
I have two. I had one before.
Of course, by somebody else.
Not at you.
Can you imagine that? Hard to believe. Hard to believe.
You had a kid from somebody else before this?
Yes.
Yeah, where's that guy?
He wasn't a part of her life as soon as he found out I was pregnant.
Mm. Nobody wants to tap into their own rhythms or mistakes at all. You want to just crap out a kid with one a-hole, move on to the next, and crap out a second kid still in your teens?
By the way, not a good mom doing that.
That defines you as not a good mom.
No,
Nancy, you're a great mom. You're an awesome mom. You just hang around abusive guys and have these huge fights in front of the kids, and people go to jail, and the Child Protective Services come to the knock front door, but you're an awesome mother. Awesome. Awesome. Don't let anyone tell you're not an awesome mother. See, that's the whole thing, everybody. You loving your kid doesn't make you a great mom. Great mom makes you a great mom.
No, I'm
taking good care is the minimum requirement of... being a human being with kids. So meeting the minimum requirement does not make you a great parent.
Well, and also, here's the thing. If you can't be a great parent and be in a relationship where you guys are having blowouts.
That's traumatic for the kids. That's traumatizing your children.
Right. What's that?
Oh, we never gotten into fistfights, right? This is the first time that ever happened, and we don't have arguments.
You never got into it except for this time.
Yeah, he went after my arm over the key.
Only takes one time.
Just this time.
One time traumatizes your kids.
Look, it doesn't.
It wasn't even.
Okay. Listen. Look, here's the thing. We won't call anyone stupid in this society. We'll call a lot of people smart, but no one's stupid. Now, I'm doing the math. It's like saying everyone had a winning record in the NFL. It doesn't work out mathematically. Not everyone can be 12-4 at the end of the year. It can't all be. It'd be awesome if they were, but there needs to be a few teams that win 4 and lose 12. That's the way it goes. I'm guessing Nancy's well under 500 in the win-loss department. All I'm saying is the first thing we need to do is establish that certain people are not smart enough to have kids for quite some time. Nancy would be one of them.
Started at 18, 17.
Well, they never get in anything physical. This is the only time they got in anything physical, I'm sure.
Yo, when you say it's the only, that means there's like at least 10 times.
But even if it were the only, that's not never.
I only did it once means 10.
That's a pretty good record, I guess.
All right. Nancy, this guy's a bad guy. I'm glad you got your tubes tied. That is an awesome thing.
My kids have nothing to do with the question I was going to ask you.
Doesn't matter.
I'd recommend getting out of Bakersfield, California. Every person I've ever met there is on crystal meth.
By the way, I smell meth on this guy like you can't believe. I don't know how he's getting around the hair test, but I smell meth here. Be that as it may, of course he wants to have sex. He's a guy and he's still married to you. He doesn't want to have a relationship.
They're taking it off the very far part of the mullet. Will it still test positive? You know what I mean? They go high up on the mullet, closer to the skin cells and the hair follicles.
I think they go for the bang part.
I bet he's got like a 6-stage mullet where by the time he gets to the end, it's just pristine. It's like baby's hair. There's nothing.
There when he was born.
Nothing. It's his original hair.
His parents no doubt gave him a mullet. I mean, you know, it's only 20.
Original mullet, yeah. I mean, if they carbon date that hair, it'd be 8 months.
Parents do that to their kids all the time.
Oh, I see it, yeah. For me, when I'm in charge, grounds for taking the kid away.
Oh, yeah.
See that kid with the mullet? That kid? Or even the mohawk. I don't like you trying to do anything with your kid. You know that move?
Yeah.
Even the Mexican kids who got the piercing at like 4 days. Mm. Little girl with the little earrings. Yeah, she's hot. Ooh, your daughter's hot. Hot earrings. Yeah, I mean, I'll get my daughter clamp-ons, but I will not actually pierce give them the big grandma clamp-ons in like 4 months. But perfect. I won't put a hole in the ear. It's going to be awesome for the kid, too.
Yeah, when she's whining.
Getting the shot in the air. Not even a test. All right, let's hear a song.
Let's do it.
What happened? Oh, now we're too late? Stupid callers. All right, Fall Out Boy in studio tonight. We're going to hear a song when we
after
come back.
After the break.
After this.
All right. Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, Fallout Boy. In studio tonight, Patrick and Pete both here representing From Under the Cork Tree, name of the CD. I think we should just go ahead and hear something, man.
Let's do it.
You ready to go there, Michelle? Anything? This one's called Sugar. We're going down.
Have I
perplexed, cockhead and pulling, we're going da-da.
Yeah, Fall Out Boy. We bumped in with Fall Out Boy and bumped out with the actual song. Band is going to... Yeah, they're there. Going to be on the Carson Daly Show, Last Call, Carson Daly, on Thursday night, we'll say. And also from Under the Cork Trees, name of the CD. We'll take
a call. Band question.
Take a call, all right. Take a band question. Cassandra?
Hi.
What's up?
I had a question for the band.
Hey.
What is Patrick and Pete going to dress up for their show tomorrow?
It's funny that we had a question about furries, because we're actually going as full mascot costumes tomorrow.
Really?
It's furries. You know what's weird? I just watched Nightmare Before Christmas, first time in 3 years. Mm-hmm. What's on his forearm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Wow, where there he is. Yeah,
that's a little bit obsessed.
Zero and the Jack.
Oh, no, there's
everybody's there. The mayor and everything.
Wow. Fully sleeved. Wow. And what's funny is Drew came in talking about it like he was staring.
I was talking about Danny Elfman. That's what made me talk about Danny Elfman we were talking about.
Yeah, like you're staring at the arm, but you weren't.
No.
Wow.
I really watched that film for an hour before I got here.
The great magnet strikes again. Powerful.
Right. Powerful. On.
Do not monkey with the great
magnet. We're obsessed with Danny Elfman, too. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but for real. That's why I thought it was funny you brought him up, because we actually...
I had no idea.
You're like, oh, Drew, read your bio.
Yeah, no,
we
were like, oh, they...
Well, you guys were a little bit critical, too. You were like, oh, you know...
Well, no. Well, here's the thing. We're fans enough that we can like, you know, rate the
analyze
catalog,
it,
you know
what I mean? Did I pick the right... The Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Was
yeah, that's huge. Yeah, that's awesome.
All right.
Definitely good call.
Yeah. It's a good gig if you can get it, too.
Have I ever mentioned Danny Elfman in 10 years here? Michelle shaking her head?
No.
Where does that?
There is definitely forces. You know what it is I don't really think there's forces at work. I just think people can operate on different levels that we're not so aware of.
It makes
of
me trust every answer you give out on that, like where you're like... I'm like, how did he pull it out? No, like, he asked three questions that seem so random, and then just sort of nail it.
That's weird stuff. Yeah, I freak my own ass out after that, because you learn to sort of trust your own instincts on things when you're following people's feelings. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Nikki. Nikki?
Yeah.
19, rather have sex with strangers than with guys she knows and likes.
That would be me.
It's usually an intimacy thing. Is your dad around?
He is, but he wasn't around when I was growing up.
There you go.
That's it.
That's what does that.
So you don't want to get connected.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
No, it's not as Adam magically or randomly brought up that issue. That's, of course, the issue when people behave like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fear of vulnerability, fear of getting close, fear of closeness of other people, and no closer experience than being physically close. And then to detach from that is overwhelming. So you got to be with somebody. There's sort of two ways it works. One is you got to be with somebody you don't like or can't have, therefore you never get open to them in the first place. Or you're with somebody bad. And that sort of reinforces the internal split you have between your good self and your bad self, and only your bad self can feel sexual. I don't think that's really what's going on with you. It's really more that you can't be with somebody that is actually available.
I get a little therapy, baby.
Or just have a relationship. Go ahead and have a relationship, right? And
force
find somebody
yourself.
You really like. Force yourself into something. Yeah. Some guy gets kind of boring, too.
And by the way, stop making the proclamation that you can't be in a relationship or you can't do math or you can't fill in the blank. If you keep making that announcement, then you just won't do it or you won't try.
Don't sleep with the guy on the first day you meet him. You know?
I don't want to sound like an inspirational coffee mug, but everyone makes these proclamations. I can't do this. Oh, I don't do that, or I don't eat. Just start doing it and shut up.
There you go.
Everyone just start doing it and shut
exercise.
Up. That's right.
There you go.
I swear.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Patrick and Pete here tonight from Fallout Boy. From under. I just want to say under, not from under. From under the cork tree, name of the CD. We'll hear something else off it in this hour. And where are we going?
Going to calls.
Going to calls. All right. What's a cork tree look like?
I was just wondering, is there a meaning to that?
It's like there's a book called The Story of Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a children's book, and it's about this bull that's shy and won't fight. It's kind of a story of pacifism.
Yeah.
He hangs out under a cork tree. That's the
Oh, is that a cork tree?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it likes a shade. Don't you know that story, Drew? It was made into an animated whatever.
Yeah, like Disney made it. You can't really find it. Disney makes it.
You ever saw that as a kid? It's a bull who doesn't, you know, he's a friendly bull. He doesn't want to gore anybody.
I see.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's nice. And he wants to hang out in the shade and relax.
Nice.
But, you know, I think they want him to.
Still has a ring in his nose, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, it was a huge ring in his nose. Yeah. Here's the thing. When you're cow or bull, like if you're a dude, you get the big ring in the nose. And if you're a chick, you get that bell.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's tough call for me. I think I go with the ring in the nose. And the huge bell. Does the bell need to be that big on a cow? You know, does it need to be a full 9 inches? You know, to weigh 8 pounds? Couldn't it just be a smallish bell? You wouldn't hear the cow coming if it was small?
And that noise has got to be pretty taxing.
Yeah, what kind of range do we need on a cow as far as location? Nothing? Okay. Mm. All right.
Mm. You ever tried to round up cows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that bull, is that Ferdinand?
Yeah, Ferdinand the bull.
Like to hang around in a tree. True, you know, you must have seen that at some point.
I must have.
Disney thing.
I seem to have an image of the bull in my head.
We'll see. Yeah. It's a good-looking bull. He could have done damage, but he was a pacifist. I like that.
When they put that ring in, watch out.
Thank God you guys have named your album after something that we've heard of or that makes sense, because normally get a lot of these folks in here that, you know, call comic books graphic novels.
Yeah, you got the wrong members of the band for that, because they exist.
They're out there.
Yeah, they exist.
But you guys named the album, right? You didn't go for that. Like, when people go, like, so what does the ethos Remula mean? The third book on the planet of Nebula, and the evil rulers are Tebos. It's like, you're 33, buddy. What's up?
What went wrong?
He's an evil overlord. He rules the third Galactica, and he's, Yeah. Now look, if this is actually a dude, I'm all ears. But if some other like-minded clod made this up and you bought into it, I'm not going along with you. That's the whole thing. If there actually is this galaxy that we're not aware of, and there's a Commander Nebulos is an evil warlord who's using his factions to fight, I'm all ears. But this doesn't exist. You're talking about like it's something. And by the way, what if I just pick something I'm into and I just do my version of? There's this car that has boobs on it. Yeah. And it's free, and it squirts milk at people. And there's this dude who's got huge guns, you know, big arms, and he's hung like a black rhino, and he rides in this car, and all the chicks worship him. Like, yeah. Car's half track. It's got a tank tread in the back.
I want to read this thing or hear this thing or see this thing.
Give me this car. Is that what you guys were looking at in the parking lot?
I'm just saying. Well,
Was he out there looking at this?
Was he watching this? To see that car. We wanted to see it, too. We want to see the car.
I'm just saying, I'm going to pick stuff I'm interested in and just make up a weird fairy tale life about it and have these clouds listen to me.
Perfect. Yeah, why not?
If it happened, that's fine. If it doesn't happen, you understand?
Oh, you want to know the thing?
It's just weird how some people do it, and it's like, that dude's a loser who lives at home and he's 33. And then some people do it, and you're like, he's got $10 million or $100 million and lives at Skywalker Ranch in San Francisco.
Well, he's the guy who's selling it to the guy who wants to name him.
True.
Yes. All right.
I'm just writing like Clive Barker.
I'm just saying there was a time when, after puberty, guys were a little bit ashamed of their love for comic books and all things fantasy, and I'd like to get back to that. That's all. You know what I mean? You get good ass kicking if that fell out of your backpack. Yeah. That kind of thing. Emerald?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I don't know. Like, when I have sex, if it's not, like, really violent and, like, really rough, it just doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so were you physically abused growing up?
No.
No.
No, it's not like even like being hit. It's like really hard stuff.
Well, so here's where I'm going down that path, is that in order to feel arousal, you need high levels of stimulation, and aggressive stimulation usually means that something happened that kind of, let's say, burned out that part of your brain, like you were around a lot of chaos or a lot of physical violence, or physical violence was actually perpetrated on you. So now in order to be aroused, you have to have these very extra high levels of stimulation.
Mm.
Does that fit in any way?
I don't know, maybe.
What was it you saw, or what happened?
Nothing. I mean, I have a pretty normal family. I've got a mom, a dad, a brother. We're all pretty normal.
Yeah. What do you do? Junior college?
I'm working on getting a literary degree right now, yeah.
From the junior college?
Yes, I go to...
All right.
Well, there's your Sac State.
There's your prom. You go to junior college, right?
Yes.
All right. You got to get out of there. All your problems will magically melt away.
Meanwhile, is there anything else? Are you on
Zertros, the Impaler?
Are you on medication?
No.
Emerald? Is there anything else? I mean, you've got to give us some help here. Why do you think it would be that you would need such high levels of stimulation in order to feel sexual?
I have no clue. I just really enjoy it. Like,
And are you maybe overstating what it is you need? In other words, you just like aggression and sort of somebody who's very sort of manhandles you? Or do you actually need to be aggressed against?
I don't know, like anything from being manhandled, like knives, slapped, stuff like that.
Knives?
No, that's insane. No. Right,
hold on.
That's actually insane.
Yeah. There's a bogus quality.
Yeah.
Yes, could be bogus.
Or something happened she's not even remembering or talking about.
What do you mean knives? Knives?
Kind of, how would knives even be used?
Yeah.
I'm gonna find that out. You mean in these sort of rape simulations?
Yeah.
Or cutting.
Rape. I don't cut.
Do you get cut or threatened?
I don't know, a little of both. Like, we always have a safe word, so if he, like, cuts too deep.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
This is crazy.
This sounds bogus.
But let me say this. If I was one of those guys who was in the rape outfit, you know, like put the football helmet on and the shoulder pads and big mittens and everything, and you go to the YMCA and, you know, have there's 30 ball busters there, I'll give them the knee to the groin and the, you know, chin and just trying to stab the eyes and stuff. My deal would be, okay, fine, I'll let the girls beat the crap out of you, but if I get through, I get to rape. I mean, look, you want rape simulation? I'll give you rape simulation. Here's the deal. You will be fighting. You understand, this will be rape. Well, I get these big padded
pants
on.
You've got to be motivated. What's your motivation?
Yeah, what's my motivation? Oh, I get a granola bar at $6 an hour? Thanks. No. What's in it for the Ace Man? And by the way, you want real world conditions? This is it. I'll put on the football helmet. I'll put on the oven mittens. I'll put the elbow pad. Do all that stuff. I won't be able to move like I normally move. And you get in all your licks and kicks. But if I can get to you, I'm going to get some. That'd be awesome.
Speaking of licks.
That'd be an awesome policy. Just look, it's controversial, but we're pushing the envelope here. We're stepping the training up.
We want to have you really prepared for what could happen.
Well, here's the thing. When they take, you know, when they're training those guys for special ops or green berets or something like that, and they do the interrogation simulation, they have some nice guy standing around, you know, want to tab, relax. No, they have a guy really actually beating on them and sleep deprivation and tying their hands with wire and they're kicking the crap out of them,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
We want our women tough.
Because I love ladies, not because I'm interested in rape. Imagine that. What happened? You ever been raped? Well, other than at the Y by the actual rape simulator guy? No, I've never actually been raped, but 3 times by that guy. I got a little game out of it.
So, Emerald.
Yeah.
Emerald.
Right? Drew, are you writing any of this down?
I got it. Gems.
Yeah. All right.
You're awesome, Emerald. Adam.
So now what you're really describing is not so much violence as experiences of powerlessness.
Yeah.
So were there experiences like that when you were growing up?
Not really.
Things were out of control. Did you have recurrent nightmares of any type?
I have nightmares all the time, but not recurring.
What's the
basic theme? Oh, Emerald's just evasive.
Yeah.
Well, what's the basic theme?
I die.
Okay, well, that's what this is all about. Something in your life gave you an experience of near death.
Mm. Did you have a friend die when you were younger?
No, she experienced it, where you're experiencing this over and over again.
Your kid and your friend dies, though, it's pretty freaky.
It's freaky, yeah, it makes you depressed. But this feeling of constant intrusive dreams about dying usually means you yourself were in harm's way at one time. And then to sexualize that, further evidence
of
the same
Emerald,
thing.
I'm gonna here's what I'm gonna do. Either you're gonna come up with something,
or you're going to treatment,
or I'm gonna just hang up. I'll just hang up on you. So if you have anything, please tell us now.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, your line is kind of funny.
If you were ever abused in any way, shape, or form.
Not even abused, if you were in a robbery or in a train accident.
If there's any kind of
traumatic
event from the past that you can think of, tell us, or I'm going to hang up on you.
My dad is a jerk. That's all I can think of.
And what did he do to you? What was he like?
He yells about everything. I mean,
did he ever get really out of control and scare you that you believed he might hurt you or somebody in your family?
Yeah, he's. Like,
all right, there we go. There we go. Now, by the way, in the first opening seconds, when I said if you've witnessed violence in your home,
my dad and mom are great. Everyone's great. I got a sister and a cat named Mr.
But
Socks.
But Emerald, if you ever witnessed any violence, if any violence perpetrated against, if anything in the home ever happened,
no,
chaos
my dad and mom are awesome.
But
everyone's awesome.
Anything
no.
chaotic, it means that it could. This is evidence that strongly
Socks
suggests something.
And my dad
happened.
And my mom and Mr. Socks have a younger brother. Awesome.
But anything at all, it just
no.
doesn't make sense.
Well, he beat the crap out of my mom.
Okay. Okay. Repeatedly, and I had to watch. He's a jerk.
All right, Emerald.
It wasn't even like that.
Yeah. Yes, it was like
well,
that.
Well, whatever Emerald. It is, look, here's the deal. Either your dad and whatever violence you witnessed at home sort of made you into this, or you're just a mess on your own. Either way. Maybe you're just a mess on your own.
No, I mean, she witnessed this.
People want to defend. Well, let everyone.
This is PTSD.
All right, but everyone defend your screwed up families. Good. Your families were great. You're a mess. Then it's your fault.
Spontaneously.
Right. Now it's all your fault. Either way, you got to get some therapy. And get out of junior college, would you? Who are you kidding? Stop wasting everyone's time. Would you please? You're a horrible student in high school, and that's why you're in junior college.
I got straight A's.
No, you didn't. Anyone who got straight A's would have gone to real college.
I can't afford real college right now.
You can't
I'm
afford not to go
to college. I am going. I'm transferring next year to UC Santa Cruz.
Never going to happen. Oh, by the way,
just,
all right. What is that? A banana slug?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I know.
Who names their team the Banana Slugs? What kind of? How does that? Don't you have to vote on these things?
When you're super cool and antisocial,
oh, you
you're
go
not,
banana.
You not let the man tell you how to have.
Interesting.
Oh yeah, you're gonna make something up.
Yeah, I understand the part about being stoned and coming up with a bad name, but the part about F you to the man, that's the part. Yeah, it's like so. They want to name the Knights or the Cougars,
no, that's
or
the man.
Warriors.
That's uncool.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Rams.
Yeah. You want to pick a bear or pick a gladiator.
Right,
but you're
Trojans.
Like, yeah, we're going to call ourselves the Banana Slugs.
That's right.
You want to keep going? We're going to go with the Quimbies. You guys, we're going with cornholies. E's, not ers. E's. Okay? You want to keep talking, man?
We'll show you.
Turn the entire school into a vagina. Okay? All right, keep going, brother. Yeah.
What did you think? What did you think? Where do you think that came from?
I never.
That was supposed to be funny?
I just thought it was a stupid name, but I never really got the sort of pacifist FU to the man.
In the 60s, and there they were.
Interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
So right, Michelle, your mom would have picked that name for a college team, right?
She would have named her college team F Whitey. The F Whiteys have taken the field. Mascot. Oh my God. Yeah, whatever that mascot would have looked like.
Oh boy.
No, you're right. Yeah, when you're PO and you don't believe it's a good idea to name your team the Proud Warriors.
Right, you don't believe in competition. You don't,
right. Yeah, you go banana slug. Yeah, it's true.
Somebody had to have been stoned. There's no way.
Oh, it is that too.
You know what it is? It's the only like there were only two stone dudes that voted. That's what it was. Was everybody else was like
two stone to vote? Two well, stone to vote.
Everyone else was yeah, two stone. Yeah. Everyone was yeah, like, ah, enough. Nah, it's like, cool.
Fair enough. So it's the two dudes that had the joke. Like, oh, we're gonna do the banana snugs. It's gonna actually get a couple votes.
Now I think Drew's right. Never thought about the FU to the man.
Oh yeah,
it tied with Bart Simpson.
Yeah. What Michelle? Look that up. Find out what year you see Santa Cruz.
I'm sure it's like 64 or something.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, there's no way that was founded in the 20s or 30s and someone with banana slugs.
No.
No way.
No way.
No way. All right.
It may be 70s.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
You're 22?
22.
Ronnie, hot chick name. One of the names, you know, they always talk about the dude chick name. Occasionally there's a Stevie.
65.
Ooh. Dead nuts on. That's right. F you to the man. And here's the thing. The school could have been founded in 65. They may not even pick that name until the height of the whole thing, 69, whatever. Yeah, check that out, too. You hot, Ronnie?
I guess. I don't know. I've been told.
Yeah, that's good enough.
<That's> not, I don't know.
Ooh. Ooh. Multi-orgasmic?
What?
Ronnie, are you multi-orgasmic?
What does that mean?
Means you can have a lot of orgasms?
Sometimes.
Drew hears it. Drew heard it in your laugh.
Drew. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Ronnie.
Yeah. So you've had five orgasms?
I can say I have.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. And hot, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
It's hot. So what's the question?
Well, my question is, I'm 22, and my husband's 22. We've been married a little bit over a year now. And when we first started dating, like, it was really hot and heavy. I mean, we've done role-playing. We've done all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know, lately, like, the last, I would say, 3-4 months, like, all that's been dying down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because, like, he has this mindset that he's married and... I don't know. He's kind of like an old man. No offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a man sort of settling into his rhythm is what it is.
Right.
He's
a pretty quiet guy in general.
Yeah.
You guys can keep that stuff up.
Once you tell him, he opens up. But like in bed, like lately it's just been like meh.
A lot of guys can only keep that kind of thing up for a while.
It's the cycles. Girls never know about the cycles.
Yeah. Yeah. This is guys just do... Guys do this at the beginning. They're all game. They're up for everything. They're, you know.
Yeah.
And then later on, they just slide into a sort of lazy rhythm.
A rhythm, yeah.
But there's a couple things. First off, I think it'd be awesome if chicks did the role-playing stuff with their husband, and they're like, I'm going to play the Swedish au pair who's here to take care of the kids and who just got off the boat, and how about you play... guy who made a goddamn decent living for a change. Made more than $33K a year. Didn't have to borrow money from the in-laws in order to buy the Tahoe. How about you play that guy? That'd be awesome, though. But you could really ruin a guy.
This reminds me of your story about your girlfriend asking you to say something nasty.
Say something mean about her. Let's just say something nasty.
Right.
Be bad, told her I didn't like her mom.
What?
Well,
stops the whole thing.
The meanest thing I could think of at the time. but here's the thing. Yeah, guys, here's what guys do, ladies. We streamline. We're constantly looking for a faster
efficiency.
Way. Efficiency. If we're going to work, we try to find the fastest way to work. Mm-hmm. And if it's the same route, we will figure out ways to shave precious tenths of a second. We'll start timing signals. Mm-hmm. That's no good. This always backs up around, you know, between 5 and 6. This is no good. Turn up on this side street and go backside. That's the gene we have. You ladies don't have that. This is why we do all the crap and you hang out and breastfeed the kids. You don't have the speed gene. We have the speed gene, and that will eventually bleed into the relationship, into the sexual part of the relationship. We will attempt to streamline everything we do. Even if it's things we enjoy, you will try to figure out a way to eat something you enjoy faster than you ate at the time before.
It's more get to what you want.
Get
to what you're the nugget.
Right. And here's what it is. We will go out to dinner. It's like this. On the first date, Yeah, we'll pretend like we like the salad and the greens and the a little sherbet to cleanse our palate. So, but by the 55th date, give us the meat. Give us right. Cut the crap. Give us the meat. Let's go. Let's dig right in. No, I don't need a fork. I'm cool. That's how guys work. Now, the first date, you're actually pretending that you're into everything.
You're slow.
Yeah, no, a little. I like to take the wine. I like to actually swirl stir it around, like just swirl it and then get
bare
it.
Your nose.
Say, bare my nose. And then you just bust the bottle off, start dumping it down. You throw it like a cartoon. That's what guys get into. And women want to know what happened to the foreplay. We are streamlining, ladies. We're making things more efficient in the bedroom, just like we are on the road.
We also are not interested in pressing at a certain point.
Yeah, yeah.
Just getting into, you know.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You don't care what the guy behind you or in front of you thinks of you when you're trying to shave a few minutes off that commute. You're just going to turn up and cut through that driveway.
Right.
You don't care. That's the other thing, too. The streamlining mixed with, oh, who cares, we're married. Is death to you guys in the sack.
As we've said, part of it is sort of getting the other guy out of there. The previous guys?
At the beginning.
Getting them out.
Yeah.
Then once you've done that.
Yeah. A new penis humps clean, I think is how they say it. Yeah. We want to do a better job than the last guy, and it's easy to do a better job than the last guy because he's at the phase we're going to be at in 3 years because you had a 3-year relationship. And so it's the most unfair thing to the guy because it's like, you know, my old guy, he didn't give me oral. He didn't hold my hand. He never looked in my eyes. The new guy, he takes his time. He tells me what he's thinking. He packs a picnic. Yeah, yeah. He will turn into the other guy. It's so unfair to compare those two guys. So unfair to compare the guy first day of work to the guy who's been at the company in the same mailroom for 4 years without a promotion. So unfair to compare those two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Buddy, it's Love Line, man. That's Dr. Drew, Fallout Boy, in studio tonight. Patrick and Pete, both here representing from under the cork tree. Michelle, find out about that bull.
Bull? Oh, yeah, I never saw that.
Ferdinand.
Yeah, you got to find out about the...
She had it.
Ferdinand the Bull. Go look at it, Drew. It was a Disney cartoon. I don't think it was a full-length one.
No, it was like only like 10 minutes. Yeah. We actually have it on DVD somewhere.
It was good. Oh, we got a question for the band. Tim?
Yeah, hey.
16? Yeah, hey.
Yeah, I have a question for Patrick.
Yeah, what's up, man?
I was wanting to know how, like, whenever you got in the band, like, did you always want to play guitar or what?
Actually, I always wanted to play guitar, but I didn't think I was very good at it, so I didn't try. And then we didn't have a guitar player, so I just kind of had to out of necessity.
Here's the news. You're all right at it.
Yeah, because I was going to play guitar for our band, our A Bloody Hero, but now I play the drums, so I was just wanting to know.
Hey, switch it up, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at guys who can sing and play the drums.
Yeah.
I always
have the little Burger King mic on, you know, like.
Yeah.
You want fries
it just seems
with
like
that?
I would be. Every time my foot hit the bass.
I used to try and play drums and sing. It didn't really
I think work. It like takes away from one or the other usually.
Yeah.
It seems like. Phil Collins does it, but he gets up and hangs out a lot, kind of. He has the other guy drum sometimes.
Yeah, he does do that. And he has the dude solo, and you're like, you're faking it, man.
I that's the thing that's amazing about Dave Grohl. You know, it's like, man, just get behind the kit, put the guitar on, and then just start rocking real hard.
Grohl's really good at a lot of stuff. He bums out other musicians. Really.
I would be bummed out too if I was in a profession where,
dude, I'm pretty good at guitar. Yeah, he's pretty good at a lot of stuff.
Or the guy could just get from behind being a great drummer for a legendary band and just walk up front, put the guitar on, and start singing and have a great band that way too. Like,
yeah, you get a complex.
No, yeah, you definitely get a complex. That's where you're re-recording other people's stuff and that kind of.
I would hurt.
I would dudes like that in Prince. You're like, yeah, I should do this. I guess I don't know.
I would hurt him. I would do those
That's
things.
That's the
like
only
Kerrigan.
Way to make things
break,
right.
Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding.
Break
Harding,
the little
yeah.
fingers.
Get Jeff Galooly to get like a pipe, a lead pipe.
What happened
pipe.
To that guy?
What's lead he up pipe. To you? He's a publicist. Jerry.
It would hurt him.
Jerry, turn your radio down.
How's it going?
21. What's up?
I got a question for you about genital warts. Mm-hmm. I had unprotected sex with this girl, and then I found out that from a buddy that she had genital warts, and she found out or whatever. Anyway, the girl obviously is a bitch because she didn't tell me. I went and got tested or went to a Planned Parenthood and got tested. They told me that you can't test for male genital warts.
I was going to say, how did they test you? There's really no test other than...
She said she can give me like a physical examination or whatever, but I didn't have any. I checked myself out thoroughly, but...
Well, there's actually you can do what I did to Adam, which is you pour a 0.25% acetic acid over the penis and then look at it through a black light, and that the pre-wart lesions will sort of show up as little light areas.
Yeah, if you have them.
If you have them, which Adam's stunt penis did not.
Yes.
Sure. His actual penis
smooth.
Does, but whatever.
Silky smooth.
Pristine.
$100.
Pristine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess what my question is I shortly after that, I was all paranoid, so I, like, totally shaved everything to, like, make sure I could see anything, you know, everything. Anyway, and I got some bumps afterwards, but I wasn't sure if those were shaving bumps.
Well, Jerry, you like listen, actual. Here's the deal. You're 21, so you and 50% of your peers have this virus.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And you were exposed to it, so you should assume you carry it, even though you can't see the warts yet, and wear a condom diligently.
What about the acetic acid thing?
You could do that if you've got a Woods Light or a black light to check things out.
Do yourself with some white vinegar,
it's just
right?
Just white vinegar, yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
Well, so if you have a black light,
yeah.
And you have some white vinegar.
Yeah, but they may not know what these things look like. You know what I mean? These
might just be staring at some lint or dingleberries or something.
dust bunnies in the crevices.
Dust bunny. Well, but here's my question to you, Drew. If you think you were exposed to it.
You should assume you have it.
You should assume you have it. But if you think you were exposed to it and you haven't had a breakout and it's been, let's say, 6 months.
If it's been 3 years, forget it.
You don't have it.
If you may have had it, but it's probably gone by then.
Well, so you won't accept that you can have. You'll even say the person has it, even if they never had a breakout.
Correct.
What about the Woods Light thing? What if you pass the Woods Light test? What if it's been a year, you've never had a breakout, and you do the thing with the acetic acid and the Woods Light, and there's nothing there?
You know, I don't know how to answer that with great accuracy. I think you're probably okay, but I can't say that with 100% accuracy.
Yeah,
because the sort of prevailing wisdom is if you've been exposed, you got it.
Yeah, I think I was exposed to it once, and I didn't get it though.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you did the Woods Light.
Yeah, but you may have passed that window where it would have shown up.
Oh, please, it's awesome because Drew is telling me I had something which never manifests itself. I never had a wart. Never any evidence of it at all. But he's just telling me, oh, you've had it, which is totally unsatisfying.
I know.
You've had, trust me.
Hey, you're exposed. You just told me you're exposed.
You always say
you're going to be like Jerry, going around three years from now, I have a pristine penis, I never got it.
Why did you give me $100 when you took
because
the Woods Light
test? Because I expected you to have something at that moment.
There you
go.
$100. I didn't become a millionaire by having lesions and not getting $100. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Let's take a question for the band. Let's hear a song.
Oh, yeah, let's hear a song. It's time for another
song. Let's hear a song. Yeah, it is. You queued up there? Missy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This one's called Dance, Dance.
She says she's no good with words, but I mean worse. But it started out a joke of a romantic stuck to my tongue. Way down with words too overdramatic. Tonight it's a can't get much worse. Worse no one should ever feel like I'm two quarters and a heart down. And I don't wanna forget how your voice sounds. These words are all I have, so write them. So you need them just to get by. We'll be right back.
Folger before you found out. Drink up its last call, last resort, but only the first mistaken. I'm too cool and I'm hard down, and I don't wanna forget how your voice sounds. These words are all I have, so write them, so you need them just to get by.
They can lose it, but...
All right. We're just talking about football. Thank God. I didn't say anything weird. Drew, you taste different.
Oh, Christ, we're on the air. I mean, Cal just beat the, put the smackdown on Stanford. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Fall Out Boy in studio tonight. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Yeah. Good stuff from Fall Out Boy. They're going to be on... Too late. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's my show. Last Call with Carson Daly. Thursday. Deep Thursday, though. Into Friday. Yeah. I would still call it Thursday, you know, Thursday night. Don't set your alarms. You stay up.
Let's talk about it some more.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
Yeah, hi.
17? Yeah, hey.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to ask the guys, what's your process when you begin to write music? Like, do you start by picking out a key, or do you just, like, choose a riff or a chord progression that you find interesting?
Well, usually it starts with Pete writes a bunch of...
I chain Patrick to the basement of my house, and I beat him mercilessly, pretty much.
Until a hit comes. No, he'll give me a bunch of words, and I'll look through there and see where, you know... rhythm strikes me as melodic or something, and I'll kind of go from there, and then we'll build from the top down. So
cool.
She just gives you a thesaurus.
and what about
go to town?
What about like lyrical melodies, like intervals and stuff that I noticed, like there's some interesting ones in there that I really like.
Well, you want to know the weird thing is I find rhythm, and then melody just kind of implies itself. I don't know, like.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It just kind of shows up.
Well, I mean, I hear it in your music. Like, I hear how the drums kind of reinforce the rhythm of the melody. Mm-hmm. Like, if that makes any sense. Like, I kind of hear the lyrics in the drum part.
That's a conscious thing. We try to accent certain phrases and whatever by throwing out.
Are you in a band, Michael?
I'm in a ska band, but I'm mainly, like, I'm a classical musician. I play classical and jazz and stuff like that.
Mm.
What instrument?
Well, I want to be a music teacher, so I know how to play like 12, 13 instruments.
Wow.
What's your favorite piece?
Well,
if you got one. I mean, I know that's probably a lofty
question. Well, I know. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Beethoven's Sonata Pathétique, Opus 23.
That's mine. Good call.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Love connection.
Hey, check out a lot of Tom Waits. I think he liked that one too.
All right,
buddy. What instrument do you play in the ska band?
I play bass in the ska band, actually. And one of our songs was played on the X, the radio station that I listen to.
Whoa. Somebody,
Boy.
I don't know if ska's taken a little break or something, but I like it. I like the horns. I like the horns going
They're
in
there. Big Fish. They're one of our favorite. They're not really ska.
Real Big Fish?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our ska.
Yeah.
But even when you go back to like the Specials and.
Specials were awesome.
Fishbone.
Yeah.
Fishbone was crazy. My sister saw that guy get arrested for public indecency.
Angelo?
Yeah. Walking around in a top hat and
nothing else.
A pair of pants that weren't really on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's the ska life, everybody. Little Dickie and the Boston's there. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Megan, still hung up on X, who cheated on her.
What's on 6 there? Check that.
Ooh, line 6, 5 months pregnant, is only 120 pounds, tried everything but can't gain weight. All right. We'll talk to both them after this.
Hello, who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191 or Fallout Boy in studio tonight. Looking at the beautiful graphics, like an old theater on the CD. The band will be on Carson Daly Thursday night. And
I like the name of their lead song. Our lawyer made us change the name of the song so we won't get sued.
Wow,
that's a good name for a song.
What was it originally?
It was going to be called My Name is David Ruffin, and These Are the Temptations. Just kind of...
Really?
Yeah, just about the megalomania that kind of David Ruffin went through.
Why would you get sued?
I guess after Outkast did Rosa Parks, they changed how the laws go for that, and we were going to be approached with some serious litigation by the state, so we decided to
You are found guilty as charged.
Wow.
nothing against David Ruffin. I am a Temptations fan. It was just...
Yeah.
It's just something like the biopic on that's always on VH1. It's pretty insane. So,
oh, I knew David Ruffin. I knew Temps, but I didn't know they were litigious folks. Speaking of Rosa Parks in the Rotunda, this is always going to sound horrible, but I don't know much more than not moving out of the bus. Were there other things she was known for? Because that doesn't seem like enough. I know it sounds horrible, but you know, me being white,
she was a flash point. I mean, tipping point.
Right. I'm hip, but did she do other stuff? I like to check her resume, that's all.
Michelle, check it out.
Check out Rose's resume. Yeah, because I don't trust people who ride the bus. I know back in the 60s it was cool, but you know, if someone told you they're riding the bus now, you wouldn't want to hang out with them, would you?
You wouldn't put it in the rotunda.
Not in the rotunda. Not many people that make it to the rotunda with something they did on a bus.
Right.
Yeah? Yeah. Megan?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. First of all, I want to say hi to Pete and Patrick, because you guys are like my favorite band in like the whole world, and I saw you guys on Thursday, and you guys rock.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
My question is, my boyfriend, like a year ago, cheated on me with one of my best friends, and obviously I broke up with him right away. And I've been really like hung up on him, and I've been having like a hard time getting over him. And just when I think, you know, I'm almost there, I'm almost over him, he popped back up like a month ago, and he's been trying to talk to me and telling me that, you know, that he still has feelings for me and he never meant to hurt me and stuff, and he's talking about like possibly wanting to get back together. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of giving in to him almost. I don't know what to do. I mean, I needed a guy's perspective on this.
It's like, hard to say on this one. He probably is an a-hole and should be kept out of your life. Probably.
Yeah.
Though he's 18, some guys are sort of not yet mature enough to sort of contain themselves and do stupid things. What kind of guy is he generally?
Well, the only word I could think to describe him probably would be man whore.
What did he do while you guys were broken up?
He went off to the University of San Diego and probably did a bunch of girls and got drunk all the time. And
all right, Megan, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I don't know.
Well, here's what it is. I mean, in general, it's like, If he was, this is something I took directly from Pete, so I'm not taking credit for this. But if somebody's sleeping with somebody else, and there's supposed to be a committed relationship there's something, that's not the lone problem. There's probably something inherent in the relationship that's
or in the guy.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting point. There's something. Okay, when you're trying to develop your character, you have to do those kind of things that sort of hurt, but they're the right thing to do.
Right.
So you set a pattern of doing the right thing and sort of having these guidelines. That's really, it's called character.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminds me, like, when the owner of the Giants, the football Giants, died recently, you know, the guy was 90 years old. Now all everyone said is he had character. He didn't care about, you know, he said we should share the revenues, not New York should get paid more for the television markets in Green Bay, because he realized in the big picture that those teams couldn't unless there was parity and stuff like that. That's how people remember you. It's not, you do lose revenue at a certain point, but ultimately you become a person of character. You need to do that for yourself. Like, if somebody cheats on you, that's it. You shouldn't take them back, not because, you know, you like them. Maybe they're not going to do it. You just need to have personal guidelines. Mm. Somebody cheats, they don't get to come back. That's the kind of person I am. I know it hurts. It hurts me.
And not only that, it's protective. It's not just a value. It's a smart thing to do.
Right.
So it has two values to it.
Yeah. I was thinking today about the
guy's done.
Yeah, that's
no,
it.
No way, Megan. Right. No way.
I know, but there's nothing more attractive to a woman than a guy who nails lots of other shit.
Yeah, but until you're, when you're 22, you'll look back and you'll retch about this guy at 22.
Right. We're talking about Rosa Parks. I was thinking about the legacy of the bus driver told her to move her seat.
Like, where's
that poor guy? He's not in the rotunda. I'll tell you that right now. He ain't buried at Arlington. Yeah, that's got to be rough. But I was thinking, did you find out anything, Michelle?
She helped inspire King to.
Yeah. Right place, right time.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this earlier today with some drunk guys watching football. I thought, you know, so important to do. You got to do the right thing. Rosa Parks did the right thing, but then, man, timing wise, pow, you're going down in history.
Right.
When
as opposed to doing the right thing when Hitler's in charge, you end up in an oven.
You end up in an oven. Yeah. That's right. And not one of those toaster size ones, full size, full human size. Yeah. Yeah. No, but I was thinking about Rosa Parks, his hero.
Yeah.
Lindy England, the guy, you know, chick that took the pictures with her thumbs up next to the Iraqi guy's genitalia.
Yeah.
She's doing time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to get her ass kicked. Bad time for her. Bad timing.
Yeah.
And not that we really care that this went on, but an example will have to be made.
Yeah.
That's your worst nightmare, to get in a position where an example is going to have to be made to another country and you're the person.
Yeah.
You're the example. That's horrible times, because that just means you did really no more, no less than 1,000 guys who came before you, and probably less than several thousand who came before you. But we're going to make an example of you. Being made an example of on a good way sometimes is, hey, I'm not getting up. I'm not leaving this seat. Pow, you get arrested. Pow, you're at the rotunda. And then sometimes you're doing time. It can work both ways.
Yeah.
Not to diminish the memory. No. I'm just saying, usually you'll get a little more or you'll get a little less.
Yeah.
You rarely get right what you deserve.
No.
Although I feel I'm one of those guys.
Rarely, who gets what you deserve?
I get exactly what I deserve. Let's talk.
You get a little more.
No. Come on, buddy.
Marina?
15.
Gone.
It's gone?
Hello?
Oh, there she is.
What's up?
Hi, Pete Patrick. I'm calling for a few of us Overcast kids, and we love you guys, but we wanted to know what you would call your weirdest fan encounter.
No one understood that. Let's talk to Tara.
She wants to know what a weirdest fan encounter was.
All right, is that what those words were?
Yes.
Wow.
I think the weirdest one is when we were on Warped Tour, there was they have these radios that cost like $1,500 that all the people who work on Warped Tour use or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some kid stole one of them, and he was like radioing in to the guy who runs Warped Tour, Kevin, and he was saying like hilarious, like crazy stuff. He was like, they were like, it's not funny anymore. And he's like, yeah, it's not as funny as when I effed your mother last night, like all this stuff. And you're like, wow, this is insane. And so they were like, all right, we're coming to find you right now. And the kid's smart enough where he's just like, how are you going to find me among, you know, 15,000 other people?
Right.
And they were like, all right. So they weigh it out, and they decide that it's worth it to just give the kid whatever he wants to get the radio back, because it costs, you know, $1,500. So they were like, well, what do you want? We'll give it to you. Just give us the radio back. And he says that he just wants to get into the San Antonio show and see Fall Out Boy.
Wow.
And so there was just a running bet whether he was going to show up or not. I don't think he did, but if he had, I would say congratulations. You beat the system.
Well, I mean, you never did find out whether he turned in the radio and collected the tickets.
He could. I think there's a possibility that he could have collected the tickets and not turned in the radio. I think they might have been very flawed on how they did that part of the operation.
Tickets in a tree.
I'm all about that part, though, where the guy turns in the radio and a bunch of guys beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, I mean, like, and throw him out. Like, it sounds like a little bit of a sting, kind of.
But they always do that where they're like, we promised this guy's accomplice full immunity and we would not prosecute him if he talks. And then later on, some videotape comes out of him stabbing the person. It's like, yeah, well, we already promised him we wouldn't prosecute him. It's like, well, you go back on it.
Yeah.
Let's start going back on things. That's fine.
Honor system, come on.
Yeah, when you're dealing with criminals, go ahead. The guy stole the radio. I mean, here's how my universe works. If someone steals a radio and you say, oh, no, just bring it back. We'll give you a reward. We'll not do anything. Go ahead and beat the crap out of him when he comes back. He stole the radio. It's fine.
You lied. Well, you stole the radio.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Fair.
We're even. You got a black guy. I got my radio back. We're even. Let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah! Just yelling at the band. Bob Boy, everybody. My kind of band.
Heavyweights.
Heavyweights. Whole pot of coffee doesn't even know it. That's what I like. That's what I want, Drew. We're going to take a little break. We're coming back tomorrow night. We're going to have Fiona Horn, witch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Foxy witch. Mm-hmm. Cooking up a boner's brew. Horrible name for a shake, huh? God. Yeah. All right. God love you, fellas. And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.